Folks, this segment is brought to us by the Dallas Safari Club, Crockett Family Resort down on Houston County Lake, and Texas-raised hunting products, makers of the cover scent and attractants that Larry and I use. Well, folks, what do you say? We head down to Lake Fork and check in with my buddy, Mr. Stubby Stubblefield. I know a lot of you know Stubby. Every time we get him on, there's a bunch of people email me, and his phone lights up with people that have listened to him talk. But it's time to talk some catfishing, and nobody better than Mr. Stubby to check in with. Stubby, thank you for hanging with us this morning and waiting to talk catfishing.
Well, good morning, Luke. Yeah, it's a beautiful day over here on Lake Fork. There's not hardly any wind, and the catfish are biting.
You know, we're into the middle of June now, Stubby, and this is what I consider the beginning of just almost guaranteed catches of channel catfish down there at Fork around baited holes. I know you do it year-round. You keep holes baited with, you know, range cubes and catch them over bait the whole year. But summertime, I mean, it's pretty dependable, isn't it?
June right here, it's just, I don't know what it is. You know, they get off that big shad pattern, and they just want to feed. And as long as you'll feed them, they'll come. You know, just like the old saying, you build it, they'll come.
Yep.
You feed them, and they'll stay there.
It reminds me so much of wild hogs. Fishing for channel cat in the summertime does. The same with hogs. If you keep a feeder going, and if you're in hog country, now, they may come at 2:38 at night, but they're going to be there. But think about those channel catfish. Once they start coming, I really don't think they go far from there if there is a food source. Do you think they still continue to travel, or do you think they just hang with the food?
I think they just stay there. I mean, I've caught fish off a hole starting in May and all the way up into September and still catch them. I mean, I've probably caught, you know, 1,500 fish off of one spot. So they, you know, they're coming back. They stay in one area.
Exactly, yeah. Now, Stubby, this might help some of our folks and I know your bait is Stubby's cheese bait is the most widely used bait down there at Fork, and it's in other places too. It stays on the hook. You don't need a weight with it. It's dense enough to stay on the hook itself, you know, and serve as a weight also. In my opinion, there's no better bait to use for channel catfish down there or anywhere that I've fished with it. So I want to get that point out there. But if you're looking for a place to bait, say, Stubby, say you don't even never been to Fork and you got your Navionics on your unit there, or you've got a good lake map that shows creeks and all, what kind of area would you start baiting? And this could be for the weekend fisherman or somebody that just wants to catch catfish, you know?
Okay. Well, I start out, you know, this time of year, I'm kind of on little flats. They'll stay out there on a flat, like in 20, 22, 24 foot of water. Then when it gets a little bit later, I'll graduate on that same area, but I'll graduate off of that slope, you know, that say it's 22 foot and it gradually slopes off into 28, 30 foot. And I'll graduate off. It may not be 50 yards or 50 feet, and I'll graduate to that to a little deeper when the thermocline changes during the year. But normally, I stay around, as I talked to before, I stay around creeks, and that's a really good point. And mainly the biggest part, I guess, about finding creeks is where they turn. You know, if you just got to run down a straight creek, you'll catch some fish, but where them things turn, all the creeks turn, that's where them fish really congregate. And I don't know why it is. I'm not a biologist, but they seem to congregate more on a curve.
Yep. And I'm not a biologist either, but I have known that, and, you know, through my years of fishing. Something about that's kind of like, I guess you could think of it as a crosswalks or something with on a sidewalk with people, you know, a long straight stretch of highway or a long straight sidewalk. There's nothing really to stop you, but a junction of two creek channels or a sharp bend in a creek channel, I mean, I can see why maybe it's just a congregating point, but if you put bait there it is by far the best place, especially during the summer, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Just the summertime is the best, you know, best time. I enjoy it. Well, from May on is when I really enjoy it because it's over baited holes, and I've had several clients this summer call me or this early spring and say, Stubby, are they on your baited holes? I said, no, but I'm catching them on corks. You know, and they said, we want to wait for the baited holes so we can catch 100. You know?
Yeah, so, both are fun. Both are fun when you watch that old cork go under. And a few weeks back, we had so much rain and influx of fresh water, all kind of food sources for channel catfish to eat. That the cork fishing, I know you can do that just about any time, but it was really red hot, wasn't it?
Oh, it's just, and actually still they're catching mm-hmm. them. I had a friend the other day that went out and they left them biting.
Yeah, yeah.
Up in a creek right here by the house.
It's so much fun. You know, Stubby, talking about channel catfish, and of course we like to catch any kind of fish. I know you do, and you're good at it, but blue catfish too. Fork has emerged as what I think, and I do follow fishing pretty close, especially in the northern half or and in the eastern half of Texas, all the different lakes. Fork has emerged as the premier, I will say, place to catch larger than average size channel catfish. I mean, 2.5, 3.5 pounds, kind of on the average there at Lake Fork on channel cat. And that's not the case in all the lakes, even some of the lakes that are chock full of channel catfish, you know?
Yeah, well, this lake here, I've been on here now for almost 16 years. And years ago, you could catch a lot of great big ones, you know, the nines, the tens all the mm-hmm. time. But there is a lot of people over here fishing now on this lake for catfish, which you never did used to hear that. It was all mainly for bass and crappie, but mainly bass. But now this thing has become just a super catfish lake. I mean, I look for baited hole or look for areas all the time to go fish. And almost anywhere out on this lake, you can go out there and throw you some range cubes out and some stubbies down there or, you know, any other bait, and you can catch them. I mean, they're just everywhere on this lake.
It is. It's become, thus the reason people travel for hours to get there to fish for stock the freezer up on channel catfish, Stubby. You know, and white bass, sand bass, that's another thing. I can remember back when, actually, I fished Fork when it first opened with some old guides that C.C. Oswald was down there. And some of the fellas that now are retired, most of them are. But if just the mere thought of a white bass in Lake Fork back 25 years ago would have brought their hair standing on end. But I've got some buddies like Larry Large. Larry's guided there for 30 years, I guess. Good friend of mine. I've hunted with Larry a lot. A bass guide, you know. That's what he guides, only thing he guides for. And I've asked Larry, I said, well, you know, he's got smart, too. He says, hey, these sand bass pretty good eating. So when he gets ready for a mess of fish, he goes out there and catches some sand bass. I said, how do you think that the numbers of white bass in Fork has impacted the largemouth fishing? Larry says, you know, the only thing I can tell is they pushed a shad. And he said, we don't always find shad where we did. In other words, he's thinking that the schools of white bass keep the shad on the move a little bit more than before, the years before the white bass were there. So kind of an interesting point. The bottom line is it's another food fish. That's the way I look at that, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. As a matter of fact, I was going to call you this week because they've moved over here. A guy told me the other day, he said, Stubby, they moved back over on your spot. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, I haven't been out because it's been, you know, the big, you know, the weekend holidays and stuff. But I was going to go out there this week, but now it's supposed to rain. I've got a guide trip Thursday and Saturday, and it's supposed to rain both days.
Oh, we can't. So, maybe it'll be one of those days that the weatherman misses the scope.
If it opens up, we're going to have to go catch some of these sand bass.
I want to get back out there with you. There, yeah. The problem, if it's a problem, I don't guess it's a problem, but I like to catch any fish that'll pull on that line, you know. Of course, I'm like you. I love to eat fish, and a channel catfish, a blue catfish is good. But, you know, white bass, Stubby, we're a little bit off the topic here, but a sand bass, if you'll trim that red meat off, I've had a lot of people say, you know, sand bass are good if you trim the red meat and eat them right away. Well, any fish, in my opinion, is better if you eat it freshly caught. But you can freeze trimmed white bass fillets. And then I use about 50-50 buttermilk and Louisiana hot sauce. Not the hottest hot sauce, but a cheaper brand. Louisiana hot sauce, Evangeline, that's another brand. Just a cheaper hot sauce. You know, the dollar for the bottle, that type. Put those fillets in that buttermilk, and that lactic acid in there does something to those fillets. But I've eaten frozen white bass that have been in the freezer, you know, 6-8 months, and done like that. They're pretty doggone good, Stubby, you know?
Oh, I've eaten a ton of them out here. I've had people. Matter of fact, I had a neighbor come over one day, and I was cooking up. I caught about 50 of them. My friend and I did, and we was cleaning them. I said, you know, it's about time we had a fish fry. You know, we can just cook these up and start eating a few. And I said, you can take the rest of them home. He goes, okay.
Yeah.
Long story short is I caught 50, and we filleted 50. And we cooked them on the deck, and the neighbors come over, and I ate them all.
And you ate 50.
And we ate 50.
Well, there's nothing at all wrong with putting a fillet knife on some fish. Matter of fact, I happen to believe that's what fish are put here for us to eat, you know. Stubby, they're telling me that we are out of time for this segment. I really appreciate you getting with me. Stubby's Catfish Bait. Folks, this is not a commercial, but I've used all kinds of catfish baits in my life. I'm talking about from the rankest that you need to put a clothespin on your nose when you bait to all kind of stuff. I've never found any it doesn't smell bad. It's got a pleasant smell, and it catches the daylights out of the fish. So, Stubby, I wanted to throw that in there. People that want to contact you, how do they do it? What's the best way to do it?
Well, just give me a phone call. Just give me a call. It's 817-366-5492. And even if they just want to talk catfish, we'll do that.
You're quite apt to do that. That's right. Well, we'll get you back soon, buddy. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Luke. I appreciate it every time you bring me on the show.
If you're new to air gunning, I want to hook you up with Pyramid Air. Now, Pyramid Air is truly a one-stop shop for anything and everything that you would need related to air guns. Once on their website, you can search, research, make your order, and track your order all in one spot there on the website. Their staff is available to answer any and all questions. Let me give you the website. That's a good place for you to start. Just visit pyramidair.com, and that's spelled PYRAMYD air.com. And for any questions that you might have, here's the toll-free number, 888-262-4867.